Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 51 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Sarah Mead.
This was out of my imagination. The reality is better than what I could have dreamed of.
Community members are pitching in to help those impacted by flooding near the Red River Gorge.
Meanwhile, state officials are hoping to qualify for federal emergency aid.
Businesses in the Commonwealth can increase capacity this weekend.
Medical professionals say it's still too soon to stop wearing masks.
Side effects from the vaccine may be alarming to some.
In sports, Round County boys basketball is back in action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 26. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A fundraiser has been started to help flood victims in the Red River Gorge area. The GoFundMe has raised more than $42,000 since it was launched on Monday. Organizer Lila Simpson tells LEX18 the response has been overwhelming.
I am inspired because the term come hell or high water applies to the love that I'm seeing in our towns right now. Like a natural disaster can't keep us from doing good work and meaningful work, no matter how difficult or daunting it is.
Simpson says she is working to develop a plan for distributing the funds to hard-hit communities. The donations will help with providing flood victims with food, clean water, clothing, cleaning supplies, and assistance with rebuilding their homes and businesses.
People in Floyd County are still dealing with blocked roadways and flooded structures, but others have moved on to cleaning up their area. Betsy Lane High School worked with Rural King, the Salvation Army, and other partners to provide flood buckets to families in need of various supplies. Floyd County School Superintendent Danny Adkins says this is the best thing about a community and having a school that cares about its members.
I've always said that the school system is the backbone of any community in any county. And that's what we try to do. We just want to be good neighbors. And, you know, when our people hurt, we hurt. So we want to try to help take care of them.
Floyd County School District opened 5 of its campuses Tuesday to serve as a warming center and provide resources and food to people in need.
Kentucky is seeking federal aid as the scope of flooding in the regions of the state becomes clearer. In some communities, the water is still rising, according to Kentucky Emergency Management Director Michael Dossett.
This is truly a record-breaking event. The water's still high. This one is not over at this point.
Dossett says some river areas aren't expected to reach their highest levels until Saturday or Sunday, adding to the already historic amount of flooding and flood damage seen across the state. Shane Gabbard, a judge executive in Jackson County, tells WYMT the rising water required rescue squads in his community.
It's almost like it's bouncing off the craziness we dealt with in 2020. But maybe 2020 was meant to prepare us for this type of season. I don't know.
Other regions saw emergency declarations, mandatory evacuations, and even the retrieval of a COVID-19 vaccine supply by boat.
Eastern Kentucky families will receive support after severe flooding. WMKY's Jonathan Burton has the story.
The Foundation for Appalachian Kentucky has set up a relief fund to support families affected by region-wide flooding. According to WYMT, Appalachian Kentucky will assist businesses in need through partnerships with the SEKY chapter of the American Red Cross and the Central Appalachian Family Farm Fund to ensure all donations are distributed to those in need. Donations can be made at any Community Trust Bank location, mailed directly to Appalachian Kentucky, or online at appalachianky.org. For WMKY News, I'm Jonathan Burton.
Starting tomorrow, some Kentucky businesses will be allowed to have more people inside. The governor announced a move to 60% capacity from the previous 50% last week. Bree Cox is the marketing director for Italics. She tells WKYT although she can't wait for 100% capacity, she's trusting the people making the decisions about safety.
We want to be able to welcome everybody that walks through the doors, but We just haven't been able to because of the capacity restrictions.
While vaccinations continue to roll out, public health officials are warning against loosening restrictions now, with more variants causing illness across the country.
A side effect of the COVID vaccine has similarities to breast cancer, but doctors are telling people to not be alarmed. With vaccinations becoming more available, recipients may be concerned over a tender lump close to the injection site. Dr. Leah Agarwal is a medical oncologist with Norton Cancer Institute. She tells Wave 3 News a swollen lymph node is a normal effect of receiving a vaccine.
Similarly, after a vaccine, your body is working on overtime to try to develop immunity against that vaccine, and something that can happen is a swollen lymph node.
Agarwal says about 11 to 16% of people had swollen lymph nodes during the Moderna vaccine study.
Residents should not expect to toss the mask once they've been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. The CDC is expected to roll out recommendations later this week for those who have already received the shots. Draft guidance from the agency reportedly recommends communities take baby steps toward returning life to normal. First reported on by Politico, the recommendations suggest those who are fully vaccinated should limit their social interactions to modest home gatherings with other fully vaccinated people. It also says it's important, even post-vaccine, to continue wearing masks in public and practicing social distancing. While that may be unwelcome news for those anticipating a quick turnaround, there are lingering questions about whether those who have been vaccinated can still spread the disease. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says masks can help prevent the spread of new variants.
These variants are a very real threat to our people and our progress. Now is not the time to relax the critical safeguards that we know can stop the spread of COVID-19 in our communities, not when we are so close.
The CDC guidance is expected to include scenarios for vaccinated Americans to weigh when planning travel.
Reverend Timothy Cole was among the first cases reported in Louisville. Cole tested positive after attending a religious conference at the Omni. Cole tells Wave 3 News he was hospitalized for several weeks, but is grateful for his recovery.
I felt upheld by so many people's prayers who were praying for me from all over the world, actually. And at the same time, I felt a great peace that God would see me through this.
Health officials say Cole was likely asymptomatic and not contagious while in Louisville. Cole has yet to be vaccinated, but plans to get the shot when he becomes eligible.
A federal court ruling brought the state's prior regulations into question. WMKY's Lakin Hupp has the story.
A bill reestablishing the state's regulatory authority for roadside billboards across Kentucky advanced out of the Senate Transportation Committee Thursday. House Bill 328 controls the rapid and unregulated building of roadside billboards. It would also be the first step in meeting federal requirements for providing state regulations for billboards. Some representatives expressed concern not for the companies but for landowners who sign leases with companies to erect billboards on their property since the court ruling. Bill 328 does not prohibit communities from having their own billboard restrictions. The bill now heads to the full House for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Kentucky students might be given the option to redo a school year because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Senate Bill 128 offers students enrolled in a Kentucky public school in grades kindergarten through 12 this year to request to use the next school year as a supplemental year and retake courses or grades the student has already taken. The bill also allows students who choose to redo their classes to get a fifth year of eligibility in the KHSAA. This gives students the opportunity to make up missed games. Senator Max Wise says that this is an academic bill. The bill is not just to help create more opportunities for an extra year in sports.
I don't think this bill should be focusing on someone's dreams of playing Division I athletics and repeating a year just because of sports.
If the bill becomes law, not every student will be able to have this option. The decision to offer the opportunity is up to local school boards.
A recent study from Finland showed that night owls are twice as likely to underperform at work rather than early risers. WMKY's Carla Haight has a story.
The researchers asked 5,881 individuals born in 1966 about their working life and health and questioned them about their sleep patterns to determine what their natural chronotype was. A quarter of people classified as evening types rated their own performance at work as poor. This was a significantly higher proportion than those among early birds. Early risers tend to have an inner clock that is thought to be largely genetic. According to CNN, the rest of people largely split evenly into early risers. Rating job performance doesn't necessarily indicate the quality of the work in real terms. Employers could benefit from people with different chronotypes. For WMKY, I'm Carla Haight.
Showtime, a musical and dance review from Morehead State Department of Music, Theater, and Dance is available this week. Audiences purchasing tickets will be given a link to watch the recorded show online. Showtime director Greg Carlisle says the show incorporates all aspects of the department for a one-hour show with 14 musical numbers.
We constructed a musical and dance review. We wanted to pick hit songs songs from Broadway musicals across the ages. There's songs from the 60s, 70s, 80s, all the way up to today. I mean, we've got songs from more recent musicals and then songs from older musicals in there as well.
Carlisle says the cast and crew took many precautions in adapting their show to follow COVID protocols. Tickets can be purchased in person here in Breckenridge Hall or online via the University Bookstore website.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area, Friday, sunny with a high near 44. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 25. Saturday, sunny with a high near 46. Saturday night, clear with a low around 24. Sunday, sunny with a high near 51. Sunday night, clear with a low around 25. Monday, sunny with a high near 56. Monday night, mostly clear with a low around 35.
On our feature segment today, Kentucky education leaders announced the relaunch of the Kentucky Academy for Equity in Teaching. WMKY's Carla Haight has more.
The Kentucky Board of Education's mission is to ensure every student has access to high-quality learning and to make sure each student is prepared for school, work, and life. Lou Young, chair of the KBE, says the program will help achieve these goals with equity.
The new Kentucky Academy for Equity in Teaching will help us achieve both of these goals. To one, advance policies that increase these qualities and competencies of a more diverse educator workforce. And two, promote anti-racism, justice, and equity as documented in our resolution last summer, affirming our board's commitment to racial equity in Kentucky's public schools.
Kentucky's Deputy Commissioner of Education, Thomas Woods Tucker, says the Academy highlights the importance of equity in the classroom.
It is important for our students to see people who look like them at the front of a class. Whether we're talking about race, ethnicity, economic background, disability, or gender. That's because when students see a teacher who looks like them or shares their background, they tend to do better in the classroom.
Kentucky Board of Education Vice Chair Sharon Porter Robinson says equity is important to school communities.
Not only must we prioritize the recruitment of more diverse teachers in the profession, we also need to concentrate on the development of positive school communities that support their retention.
Commissioner of the Kentucky Department of Education, Jason Glass, says the Academy will fulfill the mission of the KDE.
The first of these initiatives is to inspire, and the Academy will do this through a Grow Your Own Educator Grant Program. This competitive grant program will provide funds to establish partnerships between school districts and post-secondary institutions for a pipeline of promising educators. And KDE will be leading the Grow Your Own Educator program.
President of the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education, Aaron Thompson, says equity is essential in teaching.
We have to remove barriers to recruitment. We have to create opportunities for a successful set of completion standards and processes for educator preparation programs.
Glass says the relaunch of the Academy will have a big impact on schools in Kentucky.
Aside from a strong academic foundation, we want all our children in the Commonwealth to learn the value of the unique contributions each resident makes in strengthening our communities. As Governor Beshear challenged all Kentuckians last June, we have the opportunity to create a better and a more inclusive Kentucky. And we look forward to the positive impact the Kentucky Academy for Equity in Teaching will have on our students, educators, and the Commonwealth at large.
KDE will have more information on the KAET as the initiative moves forward. For WMKY News, I'm Carla Haight.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
It's 51 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Sarah Mead and Wiley Tanner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Lake and Hub has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us on this Thursday afternoon. The Vikings hit the hardwood tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Lake and Hub. The Rowan County Senior High School boys basketball team is back at home this evening. The Vikings are set to face off with Boyd County, who comes into the game at 11-6 on the season. Unlike the girls' team, Coach Sean Thacker says his team has been lucky with the schedule, not having to play back-to-back games.
You know, having a day to prepare for games and trying to build on our organization and, try to get our execution, try to get a little bit of a playbook going to where we can, we as coaches can do our parts to help along with things and make sure that through our play calls we can get touches for certain kids in certain situations.
Tip-off against the Lions tonight is set for 7:30. In other boys basketball in the 16th region tonight, Morgan County travels to Fairview for a 7 p.m. game, and Russell hosts Raceland for a 7:30 tip-off. In girls regional basketball action tonight, Bath County hosts St. Patrick, Boyd County hosts Russell, East Carter hosts Mason County, Raceland hosts Greenup, and Morgan County travels to West Carter. All five of those games will tip off at 7:30 tonight. We'll have scores from all of tonight's games tomorrow on the morning edition. The Rowan County Senior High School girls basketball team has the night off in a week featuring some stiff competition. The Vikings took on Franklin County Tuesday, who was the preseason number one in the state, then played Paris the next night. Now they'll get ready for two more days of back-to-back games. Head coach Matt Stokes says things get started with Raceland Friday night.
We've been in the same boat as most teams in our region. You know, you get to play a week and you're off a week. So you just never know what you're going to get from your group. And I think Raceland's been the same as us. So that'll be another good game for us.
Tip-off against the Lady Rams tomorrow evening is set for 7:30. The MSU baseball team is gearing up for a three-game series with Marshall University this weekend. The team is coming off a win at Louisville Tuesday afternoon 5-2. Head coach Mick Aoki says his team is hungry after having the 2020 season cut short because of COVID.
Some guys really hadn't had an opportunity to play or compete at all for a number of different factors. So I think if there was one thing that I would say characterizes it is that they're excited. They're excited to have been able to start playing baseball. It's obviously something that they've done for a long time and something that they all have a passion for.
The Eagles will hit the road for Friday's game, the Herd will travel to Moorhead Saturday, and both teams return to Huntington on Sunday. Game times are set for 1 p.m. each day. The Moorhead State soccer team heads to Eastern Illinois tomorrow. The Eagles are coming off a loss to Murray State in their season opener at home Tuesday, 3-1. Head coach Warren Lipka says he is glad to have his full team back and healthy.
We've had a lot of injuries the last 2 years, and Colleen Swift hasn't played a game in a year and a half. Eva Kuyper hasn't played in over a year. Kate Larbs was hurt all last year. And these are our attacking players. Not last fall, but the fall before. We just lost a lot of kids that year to injuries and illnesses. And this is the first time in about a year that we've got a full squad that is healthy.
Game time tomorrow in Charleston, Illinois is set for 2 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from C. Roger Lewis Insurance, 129 East Main Street, Moorhead. The C. Roger Insurance Agency has been serving the insurance needs of Moorhead, Round County, and all of eastern Kentucky since 1958. Located on Main Street in downtown Moorhead, C. Roger Lewis Insurance offers insurance needs for home, auto, farm, business, nonprofits, and government agencies. If you own it, they can insure it. John Eisen and Betty Keene can be reached at 606-784-4168 or on Facebook under Eisen Insurance Agency.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell sharply as Fed Chairman Jerome Powell failed to reassure investors that the central bank would keep a lid on surging bond yields. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 345.95 at 30,924.14. The S&P 500 was down 51.25 at 3768.47. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 274.28 at 12,723.47. Higher interest rates today on the bond market spelled trouble for tech stocks, as Tesla was down nearly 5%, Apple was down 1.5%, and Adobe was down 2%. Fed Chairman Powell said that the economic reopening could create upward pressure on prices, and his comments sent the yield on the 10-year Treasury bond up to 1.54%. Investors were also disappointed that Powell didn't hint of greater asset purchases by the Fed in the near future to help contain the rise in rates. In the commodities markets, oil was up almost 5% to finish at $64.23 a barrel. And as a result, energy stocks were by far your best performer among S&P 500 sectors today. Gold was down 0.8%, finishing at $1,696.30 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down 283 at 88.26, App Harvest down 981 at 18.75. Marathon Petroleum up 44 cents at 56.51. U.S. Bancorp is down 14 cents at 51.02. AEP up 93 cents at 77.25. And Lowe's was down 4.52 to finish at 153.77. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another look at your region's extended weather forecast, Friday, sunny with a high near 44. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 25. Saturday, sunny with a high near 46. Saturday night, clear with a low around 24. Sunday, sunny with a high near 51. Sunday night, clear with a low around 25. Monday, sunny with a high near 56. Monday night, mostly clear with a low around 35.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Heather Fannin, Sarah Mead, Rachel Turner, Wiley Tanner, Jonathan Burton, and Lakin Hupp. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Carla Haight. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sarah Mead and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.